The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast into the 7 o'clock hour. We go Stephon Diggs. He is alive. He is with us. He's not been around the Texans. He's been rehabbing his torn ACL.
Yeah.
He's feeling good.
He's probably doing it at his own facility or something.
Right,
yeah.
Now, he's going to be at the game on Christmas Day, though, he said.
Yay!
He's coming in for Christmas, so he'll be there. He'll be around the team. How do we know this? He was on Good Morning Football yesterday. The first I'd seen of Stephon Diggs popping up over the last 24 hours, though, was he got himself a little endorsement. Did you see?
Well, it's an endorsement, but it's also part of they're giving away $1 million.
Right. But I'm sure he's getting a little chunk of change for doing this.
Or he's just doing it just for the charitable side of it.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's for his foundation. You know, sometimes they'll donate. In lieu of payment, they donate to your foundation.
Fair enough. I'm guessing he's not doing
you're
it as a
cynical
hobby.
Bastard.
But he's getting some.
Hey, Stephon Diggs raising a bunch of money for poor sick kids.
Okay. If I found out it was that, I would say that.
Yeah.
Okay. I say all this to say, he's doing a Domino's commercial.
As you all know, my injury is keeping me off the field for the rest of the season. To make it up to everyone who had me in their fantasy lineup, I'm teaming up with Domino's to give away $1 million in free emergency pizzas. I know. This won't help your fantasy team. But a free pizza is something we all can benefit from. All right? That's all I got. Thank you.
Yeah. And then he just sits back on the couch that he's on and just folds his arms.
Yeah, so it turns out it's not sick kids. It's actually just us, the pizza consuming adults. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. now the check he got might be going to his foundation.
I wanted to build suspense, Sean.
Yeah.
They were giving things away.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's doing good for him. And you know what, honestly, I can't remember Stephon Diggs being on any big national campaigns.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure if he has, someone will text in 713-572-4610. So I'm like, all right. He's being efficient with his time. He got a pizza endorsement. That's really good. Now he's on the circuit of going and doing interviews about his pizza endorsement. He was on Good Morning Football yesterday. Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, Jamie Erdahl, Akbir Bajukamila, I'm butchering his name.
I genuinely don't care.
He's a former NFL player. They asked him first, how are you feeling right now?
Everything's good. You know, it's been a long road as far as it's been the beginning right now. You know what I'm saying? I just take it day by day. It was tough in the beginning, definitely. Not being mobile, not being able to move around. But the more I get my 2 feet back, I'm just super blessed. I'm in a good spot, and I'm looking forward to this Christmas game. I'm going back to Houston to go check the boys out, so I'm extremely excited. Hopefully everything's in a good spot. I just can't wait to see him. It's been a while.
Okay, so that confirms one thing I think people have been asking a lot about. He's not been around the team.
It's kind of like Verlander when he went off to do his rehab and wherever he went, to go to Chicago or Detroit or wherever he was. So that's no big deal. That's not uncommon.
That's normal, right?
Yeah, but it would be nice to have him around. I do wish, so maybe he'll be there for the rest of the season on into the playoffs.
That'd
I don't
be cool.
Know.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, look, a lot of what we were sold with Stephon Diggs, I say we were sold, I was super psyched to have Stephon Diggs on the team. But a big part of the whole Diggs thing, when people in the building would talk about that, would be it's not just that he's a great player. Boy, he's been really awesome in that wide receiver. And we saw it out of practice every day at training camp. He's talking to offensive guys. He's talking to defensive guys. I think there's benefit to having Stephon Diggs around this, having his energy around this football team.
Yeah, and just some of the little tips on routes and all of that other stuff. It's tough because, you know, post-ACL, you're trying to be off your feet as much as possible, except when you're doing rehab and everything. So you don't want to do anything that's going to interrupt his rehab.
Right.
But being even in meetings for a little bit every day could have benefits.
It was week 8. You've torn your ACL before, right?
Multiple times.
It's week 8. Week 8 was when he tore it. We're in week 16 now. Where's he at?
Because usually you wait for all the swelling to die down and everything before you do the surgery. So, I mean, I'm guessing he's walking around real well and everything. Yeah. You still got to be careful.
Yep. what have the conversations been like with your? He's still talking to his teammates. He's talking to his teammates almost every day. What have the conversations been like?
We've had conversations about it. You know, I'm not too much in the building right now because I'm focusing on getting right. But I talk to the guys each and every day, like at least a couple of texts a day. I hear from somebody in the receiver room, whether we're talking mess or I'm getting on them about a good route. You know, there goes my guy, Mechie. I see him balling. I love to see it. I just get super excited for those guys, especially seeing CJ. He's a true leader, and I feel like some of his best ball is going to come down the stretch. You know, I mean, I feel like that bye week treated him right, and last week kind of showed. He was out there making plays, him and Nico.
Okay, well, they made two key ones, touchdowns that ended up being the difference in that football. The reason he was bringing up Mechie in the middle of that, there was a video showing, and they showed Mechie's touchdown catch against Detroit, yeah, I think that was. That's why he was citing Mechie there.
Mechie's another one of those guys. When I talk about how the offense just, they need to play against good competition and get better, Mechie's another one of those guys that, I mean, as many reps as possible, if you're going to lean on him, you know, I don't know if he's not going to all of a sudden miraculously have good hands, I guess. He drops a lot of footballs. But in terms of route running, being on the same page as CJ, everything else, yes, he needs as many reps as possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, he dropped that ball, as you pointed out, on Sunday against the Dolphins. Yeah. And one of CJ's interceptions in a previous game, I'm trying to remember.
It was that Titans game.
It was a miscommunication with Mechie, you know? That's a fair point. This is an interesting one. And if you're the Buffalo Bills, I would imagine, you know, there was a lot going on with Buffalo Bills fans and Texan fans in the preseason when Diggs was looking so good. Like, oh, here's our guy. He's our guy now. And especially when the Bills struggled out of the chute this year with lesser receivers. They had to trade for Amari Cooper at one point. The Bills might be the best team in football right now. So they asked him, what's it like watching the Bills and should Josh Allen be the MVP of the league?
It's impressive. I kind of, somebody had said something to me on Twitter, and I was like, he definitely should win, and he's been balling. I mean, obviously, it's no secret that Josh Allen is amazing, you know, as far as, like, seeing him game in and game out. He's making those plays. Like, it's not new to me at all. You said it's not new to nobody in the league. I feel like it's just his respect kind of coming full circle, finally getting that credit that he deserved. He's playing at a very high level. I feel like he deserves it. You know what I'm saying? The only person that you can kind of compete with is Lamar Jackson, who's playing hell of the ball too. Yep. But damn, it could be some tough decisions towards the end of the year, whoever making those decisions, because the boy's going crazy.
So okay, but he could not have handled that any better than he did.
And he's handled all the Josh Allen
stuff. Oh yeah, 100%. Since the very first press conference, he's been very good about it. I do think that somewhere along the way, Stephon Diggs may have turned that corner and realized, you will never win the war against your haters on social media, so let's not create any extra drama where it needs to be. Even in him saying that perfectly right thing, there will be 25% of the comments about it will be nothing but pure and abject hate. But you just got to ignore it. You just got to just move on about your life and go out and charitably give away $1 million worth of pizza to just normal, healthy people.
Emergency pizzas.
Yes.
The only thing I think he got wrong in that is I don't think it is a race with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson anymore.
No, I think that ship has sailed, but it seems like there's consensus now.
These two games that Josh Allen had, ironically, games he actually lost one of them, and his odds got even shorter to win the MVP after that Rams game, but he was just as prolific in that win over the Lions. Albeit it's like the Lions preseason team the teams are going up against now because of all those injuries.
Part of it is I think Allen's getting credit for doing more with less this year. I would imagine Lamar Jackson, who's already won multiple MVPs, is probably like, I would much rather be getting marked down in the MVP race, but to have better circumstances around me when it comes to the playoffs. Yeah, I'm cool with that. I don't think there's going to be like angry side eye emojis from Lamar Jackson.
Well, with Lamar Jackson, it's almost like any MVP attention that he gets shines a brighter light on the fact that he's been a failure in the postseason.
Yeah,
you know, like it accentuates the dichotomy of the regular season Lamar versus the postseason Lamar. Now that said, if Zay Flowers could just hold on to a football last year, Lamar Jackson might be off. He might be off the schneid.
Lamar Jackson played plenty well enough to win that game. It's just Zay Flowers had two huge hiccups in that game.
Yep,
the penalty and the turnover.
Yep. All right. Here's a big question for Diggs. They asked him, why is he a fit for the Texans in the future?
It was crazy, like, going in, you know, not being even apprehensive. I spent some time with the guys on the offseason, and I kind of, like, it was kind of weird because it was like, damn, like, it felt like I knew them before. Like, even though I had somewhat of a relationship with Tank, it was like I knew them before. Like, they were relatives of mine, like family. So going into that season, it was just so much fun. I woke up every day with a smile. Mm. It was a little hot. I will say, if anybody's going to Houston, it's a little hotter in the summertime, so be careful. But definitely something to be excited about, you know, moving forward. You know, I don't know what the future holds, but I definitely got a home in Houston. You know what I'm saying? I love those guys over there. They're good people.
That's interesting. Okay, so it sounds like he'd like to be back here next
year.
Dealing
with the humidity, I don't think it's enough that would keep him from, like, just... No, I can't. That's
He commented about it a few times during camp, though.
You can't prepare for it. I told you, when I got here, I had been in Jacksonville for 5 years. Exact same latitude.
Yep.
Right along I-10. I'm like, oh, what's the difference? I don't know what the difference is, but it was bad.
Massive. Yeah.
There's a shock to my system. Yeah.
Yeah. What are your feelings on Diggs coming back next year?
I'm open to it at the right price.
Yeah.
You know, I think the thing is that he's not physically going to be the same guy he was at his peak, but there's still a lot of value in having him on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the contract looks like. You know, it's you're still not in a position, because CJ is not going to get paid for at least another year.
Right.
You're still kind of in a position to spend liberally on short-term contracts for veteran free agents. So a lucrative one-year deal for Stephon Diggs, I'd be excited about.
Yeah, and we say CJ getting paid after the 2026 or after the 2025 season.
That money doesn't hit the cap right away.
For a few more years.
It usually doesn't kick in for a year.
You're really getting a benefit for a few more years. It's not just this season and next season, and all of a sudden CJ's $70 million. The way they'll structure the contract, because I remember seeing Trevor Lawrence sign that deal.
Yeah.
And Trevor Lawrence really doesn't get super painful for the Jags to have till like 2027 or something like that. So, yeah, I don't want to get too nerdy on the cap stuff, but the only other thing I'd say that's a little bit nerdy about the cap stuff is they do have, you know, Diggs was making like $22 million this year.
Yeah.
They did cram like $16 million of that into some dummy years.
Yeah.
You know, so keeping Diggs would probably keep you from getting an empty $16 million cap hit. Because if he leaves, all that money hits this
coming
season. Right.
Oh, so you could actually manage the cap a little bit better,
giving him a new deal. Yeah, it's not all going to hit right away.
Or at least because it was, okay, that was where you'd have to be really proactive about it. Because, you know, yeah, you'd have to alter this.
You'd have
current,
to do it before free agency.
You have to extend him,
yeah,
and maybe have him work with you to do all that. Yeah. So that's in a good position for him, at least from the Texans. He's got some leverage over the Texans in that regard.
He's got some leverage, and I would say the leverage the Texans have is what's the market for Stephon Diggs coming off an ACL at age 31 or 32.
Right, yeah, because as much as we think of, oh, ACLs are no big deal these days, that's not 100%. You know, not everybody's the same guy when they come back, especially when they're in their 30s.
We know he'll work his ass off to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a diligent worker. There's no doubt about that. Text message. I was thinking about the irony. Last year, we lost to Cleveland on Christmas Eve at home, and then we smoked them in the playoffs. Now we're set up to beat the Ravens on Christmas and then play them in the wild card.
Yeah.
I'll take it, is what the texter says. You want the Ravens at home in the wild card as opposed to having to play them in the divisional round.
I think as one of the guys on Twitter that first said this, he said it more eloquently than I did the first time, but basically just... What are your goals? Is your goal to win a wild card game, or is your goal to push for a World Series?
I think Super Bowl, yeah.
Both. If your goal is to win a Super Bowl or to get as deep into the playoffs as possible, I think that, I would rather face the Ravens at home and do what this Texans defense has done. They've turned really good quarterbacks into bad quarterbacks playing at home. And the offensive line tends to have fewer miscommunications and everything else. So if you could play the Ravens at home and then go face a better matchup against the Steelers in Pittsburgh, I prefer that over, oh, I just want a wild card victory. I've seen this team win wild card victories.
Yeah.
I'm greedy. I want more, damn it.
How much of what – you bring up the really good quarterbacks at home. And so I'll put Josh Allen, I'll put Jared Goff. And for the sake of this argument, based on how he had been playing, I'll put Tua in there as well.
Yeah,
Tua had been playing well. I'm not a big Tua fan, but I'll put him in this argument because he'd been playing really good football before he got here. He hadn't thrown an interception in like 200 pass attempts until he threw that one to Kalen Bullock. How much of what they've been so good at home in defending those quarterbacks translates to Lamar Jackson?
To Lamar Jackson, I think a lot of it translates because the Texans have been able to give murky pictures downfield and basically just make quarterbacks uneasy and uncomfortable because as they're seeing that murky picture at home especially, yeah. They're facing a really good pass rush. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are using Joe Thuney at left tackle right now.
Right.
The Chiefs have had issues at offensive tackle for a long time, but this year it feels extreme. And for those of you who don't know, Joe Thuney's a guard, excellent guard, but hasn't played a whole lot of left tackle. I think that for Lamar Jackson, what it does is it turns Lamar Jackson into a runner maybe more than he, often is these days. And we saw that's the big test. I think they've got the ability to turn him into a runner, but then you got to tackle him.
Okay. I feel it coming on right now. Who's going to hit Lamar while he's sliding? Okay, is it going to be Henry Toa Toa?
Lamar's actually really good at not taking big hits when he runs. So I'm not as worried about that. He knows the deal.
Yep.
I think the thing that makes me more optimistic about that scenario is that these linebackers, from the beginning of the season where it felt like they only wanted to have two linebackers on the field at any given time, I don't think they didn't really trust anybody except Aziz and Henry Toa Toa to be out there. Now I think with Christian Harris back, with Devin White being used in limited roles, with all of these guys and getting Aziz Elshire back at some point, if we're talking about the playoffs, I think they've got the ability to really, have different guys be the spy on Lamar Jackson, have guys that are capable in coverage, but also keep an eye on Lamar Jackson. I think they're as best suited to handle mobile quarterbacks as they've been in a long time because they've got depth. Theoretically, by the time the playoffs come, they've got a lot of depth with Christian Harris, Aziz Elshire, Henry Toa 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 playing the way that he's been playing.
Are you saying like on the field at the So to the point where Lamar wouldn't know who the spy was out there.
Wouldn't know or what, from any given down. He's not necessarily going to know who it is. It gives you an ability to blitz from deep with your linebackers.
This down Christian might be the spy. Right. Might be Aziz on this one. He doesn't know who it is.
So it doesn't put you in a position where you're out there in nickel all the time with five defensive backs trying to stop Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. They can be a lot more creative with all this athleticism they have in the linebacking room.
Yep. I would rather put this text message. I would rather play Mahomes this weekend. Andy Reid with a 1 week game plan for Wentz is scary AF.
Yeah, there's a little bit that ambush quality where Carson Wentz can not just run all of the RPO and zone read and design QB run stuff. He can do it really well. It's not just like he's an athletic guy. The reason he was in the MVP conversation was because it's hard to handle both his running threat and his ability to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, and that's where, again, I'm glad that there's so many linebackers. Even without Aziz Elshire, just getting Christian Harris back, I think because you've got a speed and athleticism out there, I think they're better suited to handle it by the time the playoffs come around with Aziz Elshire out there and with Christian Harris being fully healthy, hopefully. I feel a lot better about their ability to just load up versus the run. Carson Wentz this weekend, obviously.
Yeah. Text message, CJ is still at 3,200 yards with three games left. I think CJ still has at least one monster game in him. I don't know if he does. I don't know if this offense is capable of a monster game.
Yeah,
we're in week 16.
Right.
Like it's been this way all year. Like I like to think that CJ would have that in him, and I think he's got the capability of doing that. Obviously, we've seen him have monster games before. I just think that you nailed it earlier this week. If this team is going to make a run here, if they're going to do more than any other Texans team has done before, actually win a divisional round game on the road, it's going to be based on the defense being opportunistic. It's going to be based on the defense forcing turnovers and the offense cashing in.
I do think that what I'm hoping is there's a possibility that they've stumbled into the best O-line permutation.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the best combination of offensive linemen in terms of pass protection. They still weren't able to run the ball effectively last week, but if CJ can just get into a groove and feel somewhat comfortable that he's going to have time, then maybe they can step it up a notch. I don't think they become a menace or anything, but maybe they can be an above average offense instead of what they've been for most of the season.
I'd like to get them back to the point where, because we know they're going to be in third and long a lot. I just don't feel like the running game is going to be anything that's going to set them
good defenses.
Versus good defenses. So I'd at least like to get back to the point where I feel like they can convert third and nines and third and tens. I don't feel confident in them doing that right now because we haven't seen them do that a ton. I mean, they moved the ball 140 yards on Sunday against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Their best conversion was a fake punt to Daria Gumbawale.
And it would be, if they just put up more points, you might be able to say, well, they had a lot of short fields, so they didn't have that many opportunities. Like, no, they had opportunities to, you know.
20 points.
Yeah. Chiefs are in the same position, you know? The Browns took the ball away, the Chiefs took the ball away six times from the Browns, and they scored 21 points. And now Mahomes got injured, but on a series, it was weird, by the way. That was some weird play calling by Andy Reid. And I think they just probably didn't feel comfortable with their rushing attack. They were passing the ball, and Mahomes wasn't passing the ball well in the third quarter there when they should have been grinding clock. And so it wasn't like they were on their way to scoring 40 points off of six turnovers.
No.
They were still struggling in a lot of ways.
So that begs the question, and I know I'm going to ask this knowing full well, the Texans beat the Bills earlier this year in week five. That was at home. But as we sit here and talk about, well, it'd be really cool to get bumped up to the 3 seed, understanding that there's still a chance at the 3 seed that you could have a home game in the second round. But if the chalk holds up in the playoffs and the teams win that are supposed to win in the wild card round, then the 3 seed, you go to Buffalo. If the standings hold up the way they are right now, the 3 seed, you'd go to Buffalo. The 4 seed, you go to Kansas City. I'd rather go to Kansas City and play this version of the Chiefs in a playoff. I know this is crazy because they're the two-time Super Bowl champs, and I'll eat my words.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that than go to what could be a blizzard against a team that beat the Chiefs. That's a better football team. I think the Bills at what are they, 11-3, are a better football team than the Chiefs at 13-1, and they proved it by beating them by 9 points earlier this season.
And I'll tell you too, when you bring in the weather dynamic, I'm still not 100% convinced that CJ can play really well in bad weather. I'd go back to training camp where if there was a steady drizzle, the offense really took a step back, even as they were struggling. Remember in the preseason when the offense couldn't do a damn thing? And some people were trying to dismiss it. And I'm watching, I'm thinking either Foley Fadakasi and Mario Edwards are going to be all pros this year, or this offensive line has issues.
Yeah.
Because if you watched practice and you watched the Texans interior defensive linemen, you'd be like, oh my gosh, are these clones of Chris Jones? This is astounding. But now it was just that the Texans
and those guys have been good, but not like
not the way they looked versus the Texans in training camp.
No, you're right about that. Was it a good move or a bad move? This is a text message. Was it a good move or a bad move that the Texans adjusted Diggs' contract and taking off the years, not the dummy years they put? But Diggs had a 4-year contract when he got here, but really only 1 year plus a few million were guaranteed. Was that a good idea?
It was an acknowledgement of the reality of the NFL, which is the NFL is becoming a little bit more like the NBA in that when a guy wants to be a pain in the butt, he can be on a 1-year contract. And to get the deal done, look, you can trade for a player, but you don't generally want to trade for a player who doesn't want to come to you. The Jets dealt with that all damn year with their defensive end, with Hassan Reddick. Yeah, so they avoided a Hassan Reddick type situation.
Yeah.
You trade for a guy who wants a new deal. It made sense. So it obviously didn't work out, but I'm not going to hindsight, revise my opinion on it. I thought the compensation made sense, and I thought the contract restructure made sense.
I thought the mentality behind it too, you get the best version of Diggs in a contract year. That made sense to me, too. So I think Nick did the right thing there. You know what Nick did the right thing in doing, Caserio? He was asked on his hit with Mark and John.
Yeah.
Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. He was asked for a prediction on the Notre Dame-Indiana game coming up on Friday. Nick knows what's up.
Nick, for entertainment purposes only, Indiana or Notre Dame Friday night?
Ooh.
I'm kidding.
But Pendergast would kill me, so I'll say Notre Dame.
Yeah, don't piss me off.
That's what are the ticket prices like at that game?
A lot. I was texting with a buddy of mine last night who's going to the game. It opened like well over $1,000. You know who's going to that game? Adam Spillane.
Proud
Indiana guy.
Is going
to the game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Spo's going to that game with some of his Indiana buddies. The prices have come down.
Yeah.
Spo was not buying those tickets at $1,300 get in price. I don't want to put Spo's business out there, but the prices came down. They're under 1,000 now.
Yeah, but so for you've got all the big money Notre Dame alums,
yeah,
and then you've got all the folks right there from Indiana,
right there. Yeah, that's the dynamic. That's the interesting dynamic. I think that's a disappointing thing in that game if you're a Notre Dame fan, as I think they were hoping they would get a team who's not as accustomed to the cold weather.
Oh yeah,
you know, like Indiana plays in cold weather in the Big Ten, so there's that. And I'm sure they were hoping that they would not have gotten a team that they share the same state with.
Yeah.
You know,
they don't have any kind of,
who may never be here again for a playoff game, you know, in people's lifetimes. You never know. That it should be fun. That's the first ever college football playoff game under this new format is going to be on Friday night in South Bend. College Game Day is going there, and they're doing like a 4.5 hour pregame show.
I like that Notre Dame kind of loses the home field advantage just because, like the Yankees. Notre Dame's a team that, they've gotten used to being able to have fans everywhere they go and everything else. So now here's a little taste of your own medicine. So just like the Yankees got a taste of their own medicine in losing Soto.
Yeah.
Somebody outbid us.
Yeah.
Now Notre Dame's kind of like, we can't even have home field advantage at home.
Right.
Sometimes we have home field advantage on the road, but now we can't even get it at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Go die.
I don't like it
all
as much as you do. Yeah.
Golden Domers.
I don't like it as much as you do. I just
watched Gladiator 2, Sean. So I'm not in the mood for the aristocracy right now.
I get
now,
it.
Okay,
I totally understand.
You're like these creepy emperors.
I'm not here to fight you about it.
Yeah.
We do the Pettycast every Tuesday. We have some leftover petties that are pretty good. If we want to get to them here,
yeah, I'd like to be petty.
But yeah, let's be petty. Just a mini Pettycast here. Did you see the beef between Adam Schefter and Doug Gottlieb?
Yes,
Doug Gottlieb. Midday host on Fox Sports Radio while head coaching a Division I basketball team in Wisconsin Green Bay. And it's working out exactly as I predicted it would back when he announced he would be keeping his day job and taking on the job of a Division I head coach.
Yeah, and you wonder, so you're about to hear an exchange where you wonder like, wow, can a guy do both those full-time jobs all at once?
Right.
The answer is definitively no, where he's showing that he doesn't know college sports or sports talk anymore.
So here's what happened. Adam Schefter tweeted, Sacramento State is in discussions to hire Michael Vick as its new head coach. Per sources, Sacramento State plans to move up to FBS, and they're building a new stadium, and they have over $50 million in NIL money committed. Okay, so Schefter tweets that. And by the way, Mike Vick ends up taking the job at Norfolk State yesterday, so this did not come to fruition. But
you can't turn down Norfolk State.
Gottlieb, Vick's never
Everybody
been a coach at
that.
Any level before.
Good for him.
Gottlieb retweets Schefter and says, Jesus, Schefty, edit what agents tell you. 0.0% chance Sacramento State has $50 million in NIL. And Schefter replies to him and says, the Sac 12 leading the, I guess that's their collective name.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to get into the Pac-12. The Sac 12 leading the school's NIL efforts recently announced it has reached its initial goal of raising $50 million in NIL funds to strengthen the school's case for an invite to the Pac-12 or Mountain West Conference. So Schefter is saying, look, the school has announced this already, Gottlieb.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Your
0.0% chance
the
was 100% off. Right?
yeah. And then he follows up with the shot across the bow to Doug Gottlieb, Adam Schefter. And Jesus, Doug, spells Jesus the same way, J-E-E-Z-U-S, as Gottlieb did. A 7-game losing streak in last place in the Horizon League. Less time on social media and more time in the gym. Which he doesn't even mention the fact that Gottlieb is still hosting his radio show in the middays. Like, he still has a national radio show. I hope both of these things fail miserably for Gottlieb. Like, I don't want to say the gall. Like, if you can pull it off, then great. But he's not right. For context, Wisconsin Green Bay is 2-10 this season, and they're 0-3 in conference right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's bad at his coaching job.
It's just fascinating in college sports right now. I almost said football, but college sports, because of the NIL, because of transfer portal, because of all these other things. I can't confidently say that any hire or any setup is or is not the right thing. You know, when automobiles were first a big thing, Sean, there were hundreds of automobile manufacturers. Who was like, how do you pick which one is going to be Ford, which one's going to be Chevrolet? There was no way to know exactly which one of these companies were really going to make it early on. I feel like that's where we are with college sports. Like, I don't know. There's hundreds and hundreds of programs out there. They're all managing a brand new environment that there's no guidebook for. And I'm up for anything.
Yeah.
Hey, Wojnarowski is the GM of St. Bonaventure all of a sudden.
Yeah.
All right. It makes sense on some levels.
It does.
Yeah, you know, like all these things. The Belichick, it makes sense on some level, but I don't know. I have zero clue whether it's going
to
work out
or
not.
Well, the Michael Vick thing to Norfolk State, to me, is clearly a school that's looking at the Deion Sanders situation and saying, you get a guy with big star power and big energy and recruits are going to want to come play for him. I think that mentality is disrespectful to how good a coach Deion Sanders actually is.
Yeah, that's it kind of ignores that Deion had been coaching for a long time.
Yes.
Even though it was at the high school level.
Vick's never coached.
And showed a commitment to it. And Deion's a different personality than Michael Vick. You know, Deion's got a force of personality. Mike Vick's he's got a force of celebrity, but not necessarily that same force of personality.
Yep. Gottlieb actually addressed this on his nationally syndicated radio show yesterday, his beef with Adam Schefter. The other voice you're going to hear is his producer that he's going back and forth with.
He was literally discussing something that either he didn't have any desire to look into, he might have been doing somebody a favor, it might have been, you know, helping encourage Mike Vick. Here's why you should take the job.
Yeah.
We got $50 million in cash right on hand. But it's not true. And I completely understand. My tone was pretty negative there. I got it. I didn't think I went as personal as he went.
That's an interesting take, because I think that Schefter thinks of, I mean, whether Adam Schefter did or didn't do it, the fact that as an insider, there's a perception that he would just copy and paste an agent thing. I think he thought that was a direct shot at him. And in fact, within the last couple of weeks, John Heyman, who covers Major League Baseball, got into it with a WFAN host who had said that Heyman was kind of doing the same thing with Scott Boras. And Heyman was completely offended, cut off their interview, wouldn't go on with the host again. So it's one of those sore spots, I guess, if you will, if you're in that profession. Like, you could say what you want, but don't say that. And I think that's probably how Schefter felt in that scenario.
Yeah.
So he felt he could take that shot at you.
In defense of Gottlieb,
this is
where there's a gray area. They've the Sac-12, which is a collective for Sacramento State, the NIL collective. They've gotten $50 million in commitments.
Yeah.
So either side can claim that they're correct. I think I might have to side with Gottlieb. My gut tells me to go with Gottlieb on. Okay, let's see the actual $50 million at some point.
That's fair. In the previous, I listened to that whole segment. Yeah. We only played a minute of it. I listened to the whole segment, and a lot of it was Gottlieb talking about how the $50 million Schefter claims is NIL money.
Yeah.
It could be funny money. You know, it could be earmarked for a lot of things other than NIL. And yes, a lot of it is just commitments to that money. My whole thing with Gottlieb, where I do back up Schefter on this, is like, go coach your damn basketball team.
I'd be annoyed if I were like the AD or something. Except that
what they were getting into.
No, but no, if you're the AD also, like, you're somebody that appreciates, hey, as long as they spell our names right, then it's good for us.
I guess.
You know, like, as long as we're in the conversation, it's good for us.
I guess. I mean, what's the end game for Wisconsin Green Bay?
That's what I think. It's like, okay, oh no.
That's how they're thinking.
We're going to fall from our prominent position. I think they're thinking like, no, notoriety is good.
Yeah.
One way or the other, notoriety is good.
They must be. I mean, that's the only logical explanation to it. Dang. Short on time to play Mad Dog, probably.
Oh, no, we've still got an hour, 2.5 hours in the show.
That's true. No, yeah. It's a petty, so I wanted to try to squeeze it into our
I love impromptu. How you think that we can only confine our pettiness to specific segments of time or the day.
That's true. Our show's pretty petty for all 4 hours.
Yeah.
Good point. Text message, Doug Gottlieb sounds like a weasel.
Oh, yeah, he's a known weasel.
I think he would admit it.
Yeah.
Doug Gottlieb is somebody who likes being a heel.
Yeah.
He's not somebody who, if you treat him like a heel, he's like, why are you being mean to me?
What was his scandal as an athlete?
At Notre Dame. He was the point guard of the basketball team, and he took the credit cards of his three roommates and used them fraudulently.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that. I didn't know it was his roommates.
It was his roommates. I know one of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, so he just flat out stole. He might as well have taken money out of their wallets. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Out of his roommate's wallets.
Roommate's wallets. Yeah, man.
That is not a guy that you would want to look after your wife when you're like...
No, I mean, I think he's matured,
if
probably.
If Gottlieb and I were serving in the Marines together...
Yeah. Yeah.
Gottlieb would be the last guy to be like, hey, be sure you look after the old lady if I when I'm gone, okay?
Right, right. He'll look after her.
Now, you see that gif of... There's a guy... There's a guy, a Marine, who has an account, and it was, he did a video of me watching my buddies take care of my wife when I'm in heaven.
Oh, God.
And there's like a soundtrack from an adult movie playing.
Geez.
It's him with like the clouds. It's him and the clouds in the background, like he's up in heaven, just grimacing and winching at us.
That is hilarious.
That comes from a Marine, okay? That's not me making that joke. That comes from a Marine making that joke.
Someone texted in. Gottlieb just skipped NIL back when he was in school and stole money from his college teammates. They weren't his teammates. They were just regular students. They plunked the athletes down with regular students.
Oh, they don't
know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You've told me those stories because you used to hang out with a lot of the athletes. That's a pretty cool.
I lived with a couple of
them. That's a selling point to parents, I think. Like, hey, they're not going to be in some little bubble. They're actually going to be hanging out with kids that are different majors, different backgrounds, all of that.
Yeah. No, it's fun. Yeah. Until one of them steals your credit card, and then it's not quite as much fun.
Yeah.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's circle back to the Texans and the Chiefs. Texans, they've been pretty good in close games under DeMeco Ryans. The Chiefs, they've been incredible in close games this season under Andy Reid. They asked DeMeco Ryans yesterday, what do you think the secret is? Why do the Chiefs win all these close games? We'll hear from the Texans head coach coming up next.